Our scripture reading today will be out of John 15, verses 1 through 17. I am the true vine, and the Father, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If the man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown in the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I obeyed my Father's command and remained in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has none than that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends. You do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. The Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. Love each other. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
I kind of sort of feel like Stephen up here this morning, because, you know, when he preached in front of a lot of people with rocks, it caused problems. So I'm just going to quote Jesus and say that you without sin throw the first rock, okay? And I don't take time enough to thank everybody for all the things you do. And it's not because I don't appreciate it. But I did want to just point out, if you ever get a chance to hear the sermon on the website, you can thank Jacob for that, because he's faithfully doing a good job of getting it started and stopped, and then all I have to do is put it on the web. So thanks. I appreciate it. So, how many of you have rose bushes or have had rose bushes? You got to prune them, don't you? Or let me rephrase that. You should prune them, shouldn't you? Yeah, there was a rose bush I inherited at the last manse, but it wasn't like the ones that I had raised when we were in Oklahoma that, you know, were about this tall. I trimmed them back every winter and everything was great. No, it was in the corner, and it was like huge. I mean, it was taller. And the problem was, it was so big that the roses weren't that great anymore. They were just kind of like, bleh. And so I got the bright idea I was going to prune it back one year. The problem was, it had grown so big, by the time you pruned it back, the next year I just dug it up. But, so pruning needs to be done regularly, not just every so often. Well, also at the manse, we had these really lovely red bushes in front. And we had this program, you know, may have a program similar here. We had slap and swap. One was a sheriff's labor something, and I don't remember what they were, but in the sheriff's worker assistance program, that's what. So swap was the ones that were, not exactly the brightest bulbs. You know, they did dumb things, and so, you know, they wrote checks for money they didn't have, or DUIs, or whatever. It wasn't like they were, you know, stone cold criminals. So they would pay $8 for the privilege of giving free work. And if you're a nonprofit, which we were, you could do that. The problem was they also weren't exactly Einsteins. So I had these red bushes in front, and I talked to the one guy who was over the career. I said, I need about a foot off the top of these, if you don't mind, because they're getting a little bit too tall. About 30 minutes later, he comes back, and his head's down. I'm like, well, what's wrong? He says, you need to come look. Well, she finished the first bush. She hadn't started on the other three yet. And she cut it to within a foot of the ground. Good news is it did survive. It grew back up. But pruning is a process that needs to be done. In Palestine, where Jesus would have been speaking, the grapevines, when they were planted, they didn't even let them produce fruit for the first 3 years. They let them grow and they cut them back so they grow stronger. And then after 3 years, they would begin to produce fruit. And that's kind of the picture that Jesus is talking about in here. We're talking about, I'm the vine and you're the branches. Yeah, that's us. We're the branches. What's to say God does? Well, he does two things. The bad branches, he removes. Gets rid of them. Totally gets rid of them. But the good branches, he prunes us. I've never been a plant, but I'm pretty sure if you cut off part of my arm, I would feel it. Pruning is painful. All of us are going to have painful things that happen to us as God is helping us become what he wants us to be. It's okay. God's not picking on you. Just like you're trying to prune your plants to get the best possible plant, God's trying to prune off the parts of us that need to be dealt with so that we can be the best us for God that we can be. Now, it's important to realize that pretty much a branch is pretty much useless without the vine. How do I know? Take a branch off the vine and go walk away with it and stick it in a vase and even put water in it. Guess what? It ain't going to grow again, most vines. It's just going to go, ugh. And it makes that sound too. For a branch to be growing and successful in life, in its life, it has to be attached to the vine. For us to be what God wants us to be, that means pretty simple. We need to be attached to the vine that's Jesus. We need to be doing our best to be just like Jesus. And when we do that, then it says that God is glorified when we produce fruit. Now, we talked a few weeks ago about the fruit of the Spirit. So God is glorified when we're producing that fruit of the Spirit, like kindness, like patience, like self-control. All of those are examples of how God is being glorified when we do that. The more we do it, the more we're glorifying God. Another important aspect about the vine and the branches and God is it tells us here in the Scripture that God chose us to go and bear fruit. It's our job. We're not just supposed to be a little vine. We're supposed to have a vine that has fruit. Now, in every garden, those of you that garden, you know that you have weeds that you have to deal with. You got bugs you got to deal with. You got groundhogs you got to deal with. Or whatever it is. But you have a lot of different things in order to be able to bring your fruit to harvest. It's not always easy. There's a lot of negative elements in trying to get a garden. Well, in John 15, where he's talking about pruning the vine, he's helping us understand. Jeff says it's not easy for us to raise a physical garden of fruit and vegetables. God is saying it's not easy for him to raise us. And look what he has to work with. You blame him that he has some trouble sometimes. You know, some of you guys might be okay to work with, but some of us are a lot harder to deal with. Yeah, I won't mention names. Yeah, no. But listen to the truth. If you let God direct your path, you're not going to get tired in bearing fruit. Because you're not going to be confused, you're not going to be stressed. You'll simply do what you're supposed to do and bear fruit. Because God is the gardener, Jesus is the vine, and if God's tending us, and Jesus has his growth in us, and we're off of him, It'll be natural. The fruit will become a natural outpouring of who we are. Now, have you ever seen a cotton plant that couldn't decide whether or not it should produce cotton? Or a blueberry plant that was stressed out because all it could produce was blueberries? Well, if you have, send it to Ripley's, because I've never seen it. You know, I just don't see plants going, I can't do this anymore, I'm tired of being a blueberry. I don't want to be a strawberry. But sometimes, I know that sounds silly, doesn't it? But that's how some of us are in our lives. I don't want to do this for God. I want to do this for God. Well, God said, you ain't fit to do that. You're not qualified. Do what I've prepared you to do. Be happy, because you can glorify me wherever I want you to be. You know, frankly, if you're exhausted in what you do, either at church or at work, maybe it's simply because you're in the wrong line of work. Healthy branches don't get stressed. They simply bear fruit. You might be trying to make bananas grow on apple trees. It just doesn't work. You need to bear the right fruit. Don't worry whether or not God is in control, because guess what? God is in control. You don't have to, there's no guesswork about it. Now, the only problem that we have is deciding whether we want to believe that God's in control or whether or not we have some element that we can do to shake our fists and say, I'm in control. I'm not going to let the sun come up tomorrow. See, y'all do that, huh? Yeah. We're not in control, are we? My hair's up. Well, wait, that won't work because mine isn't. I'm not going to get thirsty and I'm not going to drink for 3 days. Well, yeah, I'm going to get thirsty. God's in control. Let God be God and let us glorify Him in the fruit that we bear. Bearing the right. If you're a banana tree, have bananas. If you're, you know, if you're a blueberry plant, do blueberries. If you're a fruitcake plant, oh wait, there isn't such a thing, thank goodness. But the biggest thing that I get from this passage, if we are tied into the vine, God will give us what we need. Did you notice I said what we need and not what we want? The kids in the Sunday school class had a video that kind of dealt with that today. A little kid was wanting a toy from a kiosk in a mall, and it wasn't the proper toy for him, and his dad actually did give him a kickball at the end of it, which is what was more appropriate. And the whole point of the whole thing was saying that God doesn't always give us what we want. He gives us what we need. Danny Simpson lived in Ottawa, Canada, 1990. He was a little down and out on his luck. He was not an overly bright criminal, but he decided to rob a bank anyway. He got $6,000 and was caught almost immediately. Well, while he's at the trial, two significant things came out. Number one, he was sentenced to 6 years in prison. And his opportunity to be successful in life had dropped a lot. But second, as they looked at the weapon that he used, it was a Colt 45 semi-automatic, a collector's item that had been passed down through his family that was worth over $100,000. So he uses a $100,000 weapon to rob a bank for $6,000. You see the stupidity in this? Danny robbed a bank for $6,000, holding $100,000 in his hands. He should have seen you, Doug. You could have told him what it was worth and been fine, right? God will not ask you to bear a certain kind of fruit without equipping you to bear the fruit. God has given us His Word. He's given us our gifts. All you really need is trust. You see, it's not about you. Jesus said, it's about me. I'm the vine, not you. You're the branch. My Father is the owner of the vineyard, not you. He'll make the gardening decisions. He will do the pruning. He'll call the shots. That's his right and not yours. And when you do that, you will bear fruit. God has a plan for each of us. I don't know what his plan is for you. It's not my business. My business is to be faithful to what God has called me to do. And your job is to be faithful in what God calls you to do. And if God has called you to be a banana tree, produce bananas. If he's called you to be a rhubarb plant, don't do it. Oh wait, some of you like rhubarb. That's good. Reminds me of a story of a couple of boys who, when they would get in trouble, were sent up to the room. They didn't care because they'd open the window and they'd slip out onto the tree and scurry down, go play in the field for a while, and then they'd come back in and shut the door real quietly, and then they'd wait a few more minutes and go, "Hey, can we come back out yet?" And that was their kind of secret. So they were all happy when they got sent to the room. Until one night at the supper table, their dad said, "I'm going to have to cut that tree down. It's not bearing fruit anymore." And they were like, "Oh no, what are we going to do?" So they got an idea. They got some black string. They went and got some apples and tied apples onto the tree everywhere. And the next morning they came out and said, "Dad, it's a miracle. The tree has fruit again." He says, "Yeah, it really is a miracle. That's a pear tree that has apples on it." Bear the fruit you're supposed to bear. Don't fake it. Just let God work through you. God loves you. He wants the best for you. Think about it. If you love someone, do you want bad things to happen to them? No. If you love someone, you want the best. And no one loves better than God. Let's do our part. Let's stay attached to the vine. Let's let God be God and let us be the fruit and bear the fruit that he requires of each of us. Let us pray. Father, thank you that you are the gardener, that Jesus is the vine, and we're simply the lowly branches that bear fruit. Help us to remain strong and true branches, and not to get grumpy when we're pruned, but to accept it and to grow through it, to grow stronger. Father, just help each of us to do our individual best to be what you've called each of us to be, so that as a group together, we'll be even better. In Jesus' name we pray. All right, one thing I know, a couple that I want to put on the prayer list. Amy and her mom, Rosella, will be leaving sometime tomorrow after they finish up some more paperwork and then headed this way. But since there's two dogs and a blind woman, they aren't going to come quite as quickly as we went out. So they should be here, we're hoping, Wednesday night. And we're going to... She's going to be here at least until Thanksgiving this time, and so we're going to try to get her acclimated to the manse and make her fall in love with you guys so that when she goes back to Oklahoma, it's just to get the rest of her stuff and move in with us. So she should be here next Sunday. She'll be the one with the white stick, just in case you're wondering. But if you'll pray for Amy and Roselle on their trip, I'd appreciate that. I do have one praise that I know of. Chris McEwen's daughter that lives in Ohio had a baby at 6 a.m. this morning, so, and everything's healthy, which is why they aren't here. I said, "Do you have time? It's not that far from Newark." But he decided he wanted to stay and see the baby. I don't know, whatever. But for the McEwen's new grandchild, thanks be to God. Are there other requests or praises that I need to know about? Yes.
Oh, yeah. Pastor Fred's mother-in-law passed away.
Okay, Pastor Fred's mother-in-law passed away, so we need to remember Fred and family and friends of her. I saw him back there. I know, we all have, both of us have two hands.
The first is for the town of
Okay.
We need prayers.
Okay.
And the second is for a friend of mine who's battling cancer. Her name is Martha Fugale. And
was it Martha or Martha? Martha. Okay. Martha, who's having dealing with cancer, and West Alexander Township. Township? What is it? What is West Alexander?
Village.
I'll figure it out when I've lived here longer. Give me a break. All right. The village of West Alexander. I saw a hand over there. What? For our own heroes and this weekend in Emmaus, thanks be to God. Yes?
The family of Terry Mardell who died suddenly this week.
The family of Terry Mardell who died suddenly this week. You remember that. Others? Yes?
A prayer for Gus Bell.
Okay.
You should get all the
time. All right. But his name ain't Gus. For Gus Stout, who should be getting home today, he said? All right, we need to continue to remember him as he recovers. Others? Oh, sorry. All right, for Ernestine's son, Dominic. Anyone hiding back there? I didn't mean to ignore you guys. I forget to look back there. You're so quiet. Okay. Just yell, scream if I don't see you next time. Yes.